Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Throwback Thursdays, Fancast Fridays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. I'm Dallas, and I haven't stopped thinking about Obsession since I saw it, and I saw two other movies in that time.
So would you say you're obsessed?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Gabby, and I bet you're surprised to hear me.
I thought you were dead.
Oof. Nope, just dead to the world.
I'm Cassie, and you know, I gotta tell you, six seasons in a rewatch, Game of Thrones is 4.5 seasons of a really good show, and then it falls off a cliff.
Yep, tragic. As soon as George R. R. Martin's prose is gone, it just dive bombs.
We hate to see it. I didn't see it because I didn't watch the show, but for y'all, we hate to see it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. It'll make you sad inside. It'll make you sad.
Good to know. Good to know. Demi ain't here.
She's not.
That's why I did the thing that she always does. You know.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. She got stuck in the back rooms. Hater had to be her. I told her not to follow that white woman in there, but you know how Demi is.
She do love those white women.
She do love those white women. Oh, man. Just started, and we're already giving her a reason to hate us when she's editing this. Hi, Demi.
Love you.
Love you.
Say it
with
love.
Speaking of back rooms, today we're talking about the back rooms and Woo. Obsession and Off Campus. We will talk about Mandalorian and Grogu when Demi comes back, because it would be weird to talk about it without her, to be honest.
That's correct.
It was going to be me, and y'all do not want me to do it. Like, I
know.
I'm not going to say nothing bad about the movie, but it's a very different energy than Demi would have.
Yeah, it's not for you.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, why? Where are the babysitters in space? Why are you taking this baby everywhere? I assume why the show explains that.
I saw this lady that was like, why? I've never seen any other Star Wars. I've only seen Mandalorian and Grogu. And why is the baby in a peacoat? And why is this baby in all these fights?
And all these fights.
And why? And I just kept waiting for her to be like, and why does the baby have no socks on? Like, where's the baby's hat?
Where the baby hat at? Maybe in all kind of gunfights, just eating cookies for dinner. Wow.
She's like, why is this baby in the middle of so many fights? They're just taking this baby to fights. And people in the comments fighting hard not to explain this to her. She's like, I don't care because I have... Yeah. That's great.
No time for that.
Okay.
Anyway, back to things we are talking about. Before we get into the episode, please like and share and subscribe and blah, 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 blah. Because otherwise, I'm going to have to make a magic wish that our podcast was successful. And who knows how that would turn out. Probably bad.
Like monkey paw Probably levels bad. Of bad.
Yeah, like I'm going to be like, oh, I wish we had a big audience. And it's all going to be like the audience of like a Joe Rogan podcast. And then it's going to...
Or like rabid fans where we have to hire security for our own safety.
I mean, listen, if that means we have the money to hire security, I ain't mad about it.
Yeah, we got the money, I'm about it. Let's do it. Let's
Like, do you got hired security money? Because I don't.
Yeah, that's the problem is that I don't have the money.
I have hire security for like an hour money. And that's about
that's a start. That's a start. We'll get work our way up.
All right.
All right, what else are we starting with? Obsession?
Obsession. Obsession.
Obsession. All right. Obsession is written, directed, and edited by Curry Barker. He is a YouTuber. He has a YouTube, what's it called, like a comedy sketch group called That's a Bad Idea. He also directed Milk and Cereal, which is an hour-long horror movie on YouTube. It's free. Go watch it if you're into that kind of thing. It's a lot. and it stars Michael Johnston, Indy Navarrete, oh my God, Cooper Tomlinson, and Megan Lawless. Also, Andy Richter is in it, which was just a nice little surprise for me.
Andy Richter...
The guy who hangs out with Conan.
Oh!
Yeah.
I mean, they needed a name. They needed a popular name because they were mostly hiring unknowns, right?
These are a bunch of unknowns. Yeah. It's like a bunch of people we didn't know. But it's like, oh, snap. Andy Richter's here. Anyway, IMDb summary is, after breaking the mysterious One Wish Willow to win his crush's heart, a hopeless romantic finds himself getting exactly what he asked for, but soon discovers that some desires come at a dark, sinister price. Mm-hmm. It's rough out there, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so first things first, congrats to Indy Navarrete for being the newest addition to my lock 'em up list.
Hell yeah.
First woman on the list. For those who don't know, my lock 'em up list is a list of people who have given a performance so convincing, usually as a killer, and unsettling that I think we should lock them up until we're sure they're not actually dangerous.
Exactly. Paul Dano's on that list.
You really?
Paul Dano's on the list.
Dallas really said, you're too good at your job. So you got to be kept away from society.
He's like, I can't trust you. We got
to
make sure.
If your job is to scare people and present yourself as dangerous and scary.
Terrifying.
Too good at it.
I heard.
Although I will say, I've seen her in a lot of interviews and behind the scenes stuff, and she seems very nice and very sweet. So.
Or
you know,
she's just putting it on.
No, put her on the list. Lock her up. But yeah, she's great. The movie is great. I will probably never watch it again. As I told Cassie off mic in the chat, the movie does everything well. I will probably never watch it again. I can't remember the last time I left a movie feeling this emotionally exhausted.
Jesus Christ.
Hell yeah.
Like, from the moment that the main dude's name is Bear, from the moment he makes the wish, I didn't relax for the rest of the movie.
Oh, no.
Which is crazy because it's very funny. Like I said, Curry Barker comes from comedy, and the parts in the movie that are funny are very funny, and they don't stop after the wish, but somehow I still just never felt relaxed.
Is this like Jordan Peele's movies where like the levity is like 10 out of 10, but...
Yeah,
know.
But it's...
Or like, you know how Get Out was like, it had its moments where you were like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, they're still going to let you laugh, which I always appreciate because, you know, it allowed me to breathe a little bit.
You need a break sometimes.
You need a break. Also, we'll say, great one to see in a full theater because... It's been a while since I've heard this much nervous laughter in a movie theater. Ooh. It's one of those where a lot of horror movies, they do things like you're seeing a room and then you see something in that room. Like, uh-oh, what's that? And everyone in the theater sees it at their own pace. So you start to hear people like, oh my God. And it's like doing the wave, but with anxiety.
Yeah.
So great one to see in the theater. We come to this place for anxiety. Anxiety feels good in a place like this. Mm-hmm. Shout out to
collective experience.
We love it. The premise makes it inherently tense. It's very good at building tension because anytime Nikki's on screen, she's scaring the hell out of me. But anytime we don't see her, I'm thinking, where is Nikki?
Yep.
Oh my God, is she behind that wall? Is she in that corner? Oh my God, I'm so scared. So,
oh my God,
you don't really ever get to relax.
So you're like, where? If I don't see her, I don't know what she's capable of and doing.
Exactly. And when I do see her, I'm like, she's about to do something wild, but at least I know where she is. Yeah.
It's like, you know where she is, but at what cost?
Exactly. I know where she is, but something bad's about to happen. Ooh. So yeah, like I said, ending I've already. She deserves an Oscar. She won't get it because of the kind of movie this is.
But maybe she can get a nom.
We would love that. I know Amy Madigan, I think is her name, from Weapons. I think she won an Oscar last year.
She won. She did. Yeah, she won.
Yeah. So... Love that.
But that's a rare one, you know?
It is extremely rare, yeah.
And I think that one, you can also make the argument that, like, yeah, it was a horror movie, but it was really talking about, like, gun violence or something.
Right.
Whereas I don't know that obsession you can have,
like,
a... Those
kids just getting stolen.
Yeah.
What about the scene with the big gun in the sky?
Oh, I haven't seen the movie. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't seen it.
There's a bit where there's a big gun in the sky.
The director kind of took the, I don't want to say the coward's way out because it seems too harsh. But when asked about it, he was like, I don't know. I'm not trying to make it political. I don't know what the big gun in the sky means. It can mean anything.
It's really just like, listen, my movie still needs to make money.
Exactly.
I can't tell you.
You can't.
Republicans watch movies too.
Be the person who says, yes, this is going to be in the movie out of all these things we shot, and then say, I don't know why I put it there.
Right. Like, yes,
he
you
knows
do.
Why he
tell the people why you put it there. Anyway, weapons
aside.
You know,
media literacy is failing America. Like, people are increasingly media illiterate. So,
and that's why you can get away with saying like, oh, I don't know what it means. It doesn't mean anything. I just put it there. What's gun violence? Back to this movie. She's going to clean up at the Dead Meat Horror Awards. Shout out to the fans of Dead Meat, the YouTube channel. James and Chelsea, we love you. God, she's so good. In and Ready is so good because she has to play normal Nikki. And then she has to play the side of Wish Nikki that's trying to be like the perfect girlfriend.
Oh.
And then she has to play the scary, violent side of Wish Nikki. So it's two performances, but it's almost three depending on how you look at it, and there are these moments when you can kind of see normal Nikki trying to, like, I don't know, almost fight her way back to the surface.
Got it. She's trying to break through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's hard to do as an actor.
All those moments are really tough because it's like scary, but then also the not even implications, just the straight up like situation of this movie is extremely dark when you think about dude making a wish and taking away this woman's free will and autonomy.
Yeah, especially because he could have just gone to therapy, you know? I'm just kidding. Like, men will do anything but go to therapy.
I'm going to circle back to that when we get to the background. But,
you know what?
But
Yes.
Yeah, we'll circle back. But yeah, it's very dark. Very good performances. And I think that's part of the reason why it's so exhausting, because it's just like, when you think about this situation, you know, it seems like main dude Bear is the victim, but he's really the villain.
Yeah, he made the wish.
He did this to himself and everyone around him.
As someone who has seen the movie, I don't even really blame him for the initial wish because of the way he does it. It's kind of like doing a she loves me not kind of thing, like making a wishbone. Oh. He's not like, I actually believe I'm going to take away this woman's free will. It was kind of just like a kid doing a, oh, I got a wishbone. Well, I wish, or like a magic eight ball situation.
Yeah, he didn't think it was real.
Yeah. It's how he reacts to certain things that happen in the movie that I'm like, oh, no, you're really bad. You're a really bad dude. You suck. But good acting, though. Michael Johnston, like, Indy's obviously the standout, and Michael Johnston's kind of getting overshadowed by all the praise that she's getting because she has so much to do. But he's going all out, too. Like, as the protagonist in a movie like this, he has to really act. Like, he has to scream. He's a scream king. He has to be terrified. Try to be, like, the quote-unquote nice guy. It's a whole thing. Hooper Tomlinson plays the friend. He's the main reason the movie is as funny as it is. Kind of like you said, Get Out, Lil Rel was the friend who added a lot of comedy to it. Cooper Tomlinson is kind of in that role. And then Megan Lawless is another friend. She plays Sarah. Out of the main cast, she kind of has the least to do performance-wise, but I wanted to shout her out anyway because she did a good job. So shout out Megan Lawless. Also, she has a really cool last name, Lawless.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Is she related to Lucy Lawless?
I would think, because Lawless, but I haven't seen anything about that.
Let me see. I'm going to look it up. But continue talking.
Whenever I looked her up, I didn't see any relation. But I didn't look that hard because I was looking at all the fan theories about what this means and what that means. The Obsession subreddit is going off right now. And I love a movie like that. Like, you watch a movie and then everybody's like, what does this mean? What happened here? Did you guys see that scene? It's so good. Cassie, I can't wait for you to see this movie.
I'll get there.
And I don't know that I would have seen it if you didn't have it on your most anticipated list, because I didn't know what it was.
Oh, the second I heard about it, I was like, yes, I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cassie for the assist.
Right, because you brought it up, and I was like, what is that? And I looked up the teaser, and I was like, oh, I'm in. And then, boom, here we are. But yeah, everything is done really well. The music is done by someone named Rock something. He did a really good job. Like, the sound design adds to the eeriness of it in a way that is hard for me to describe. Rock Burwell, not Brock, Rock. Yeah, just everyone did their job very well. I don't know how many ways I can praise Indy's performance, but when we get back to our, well, not back to, but when we get to our favorite actors of the year, she's definitely going to be on my list, and I'm going to just run off a bunch of stuff that she did in this movie. Shout out to Indy. Can't wait to see her more stuff. Also, Curry Barker, he already has filmed his next movie.
Yeah, that's Anything wild. But Ghost. And that, it sounds awesome.
It does. It has Aaron Paul, Bryce Dallas Howard. I've already forgotten the other person in the movie. But I'm like, oh, you're getting big names now. Look at
you. It's about like ghost hunters who encounter real ghosts or something.
Something like that. Oh, Violet McGraw. Love the McGraw sisters. They're awesome in all the horror stuff that they do. But yeah, can't wait to see that.
Yeah, two fake paranormal investigators must face actual ghosts while dealing with the deception of their own fraudulent business.
Yeah.
I'm so in. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Bro. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Up. Too bad these movies don't let me sleep at night, so I can't watch them.
Yeah, this was a rough one. Also, especially so a lot of movies, I was talking to my friends about this. After you watch a horror movie, sometimes you come home, and if you come home to a house where you live alone, dark and alone, extra scary. But if you come home to a house where your wife is playfully needy and
pops out at you,
toes that line of saying, like, why don't you love me enough?
And toes the line. She says it.
You didn't.
I've been there.
Exactly.
But after this
after
movie,
seeing this movie, I was like, oh, God.
Ooh, it looks like Curry Barker is writing and directing a reimagining of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, he is. And
damn,
I don't really rock with
busy.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so I'm gonna let that one go. But
hi.
I can't wait for the ghost one.
He's staying booked and busy.
Mm-hmm.
Is he here? Quick question. I wonder, since he's on YouTube, is he self-funding these or is this like studio funding?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I know that this one was focused features, but the budget was super low. It was like 750,000 to a million.
Yeah, well, a lot of horror movies have low budgets, and then they, I mean, horror movies are one of the like film genres that are keeping the film industry alive. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't take a whole lot to make, like action movies. And
then if a lot of people see it, boom.
Yeah, like they can make them from real cheap, and then their profit margin is enormous. That's why I'm wondering, like, is this self-funded or is he?
Milk and Cereal, I'm pretty sure it was, because that was the YouTube one. It was like an hour.
Yeah.
Concept led to him being signed by William Morris Endeavor and receiving an offer to direct the film with a $1 million budget.
Yeah, low as hell.
Yeah. It's already made 100 times its budget.
Yeah. That profit margin, man.
Shout out horror movies. But yeah, great movie if you like really messed up horror movies. Or if you spent years acting like you weren't a fan of horror movies and then you became the biggest horror fan on your podcast when you came out of the horror closet, then I recommend this movie to you.
I wouldn't go that far.
Sure.
I wouldn't say biggest. Girl. You watch more horror than I do, I think.
At this point, I don't think I do. You don't watch all the Saw movies like 6 times.
You are talking about 2 horror movies that you have seen that I have not seen, one of which I'm not going to see.
Yeah, but you know, you would have seen Obsession if it was streaming already. But anyway, speaking of horror movies made by people who got their start on YouTube and are very young, in a way that makes me feel proud of the youth, but also old.
There is still time.
There is always time. Backrooms. Backrooms is directed by Kane Parsons, a.k.a. Kane Pixels. It is written by Will Sudeik, who wrote for the TV show Ash vs. Evil Dead, and he wrote an episode of Westworld and an episode of Homeland. The movie stars Chiwetel Ejiofor, Renate Rinsvi, Mark Duplass, Finn Bennett, and Lukita Maxwell, a.k.a. Alice from Shrinking.
Hmm.
Shout out to Alice.
Booked and busy.
It is.
Sorry, go on.
Booked and busy. The movie is based on Kane Parsons' own web series, which itself is inspired by the Backrooms Creepypasta, which started that on like a 4chan forum where someone posted a picture of a creepy yellow room. And I love the fact that one day someone posted a picture on the internet, and then some years later, now A24 is making a movie. I love the way that we can get movies now. Like, art is awesome. Also, Kane is 20 or 21 now, which means he made that web series when he was like 16 or 17.
That's awesome.
And now it's an A24 movie. So, like, good for him. Shout out, Kane.
But he got to direct, too. Like,
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Make that art. Make that art in your room.
Before you get into it,
yeah,
a very quick question.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like this is too easy. But if you're making the porn parody of the Backrooms, do you just call it Backshots and leave it at that?
Oh, yeah. Why play with perfection?
Or something backdoor, but I feel like Backshots is more applicable because you can kind of do whatever with that.
Backshots is
I'm going to choose to hold off on answering that until I give you all Demi's social media handle for this episode.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, IMDb summary is, after a therapist patient disappears into a dimension beyond reality, she must venture into the unknown to save him. So this is why I had to bring up the...
That's not part of therapy. That's...
It's also not really the main part of the movie, but it does happen. That's why I wanted to say, I'll circle back to the running joke of men will insert blank here instead of going to therapy, which I saw as a Letterboxd review on this movie, and I thought,
he's going to therapy.
You can't, like, you really just wanted to make the joke, but it's the only movie where you can't make that joke. He's in therapy.
No.
He goes to multiple therapy sessions in the movie. Anyway, Chiwetel Umeadi Ejiofor, your name is entirely too black for you to be acting this white in your horror movie. You are walking into mysterious dark spaces.
Mm-mm.
You are yelling hello as someone there into empty spaces.
No.
Also, from what I understand, he goes in more than once.
Oh, yeah.
That is the whitest shit possible. Because if I go in once and I just see the yellow bullshit, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Gabby's walls right now like, no, I wouldn't stay in that room for 5 minutes, let alone the fucking back rooms. Mm-mm.
I'm part of the Latinos against spooky shit. Like, absolutely not. No.
Even the way he finds it is, he falls through a wall.
No.
Once I fall through a wall, I'm running back through that wall and never touching that wall again.
I'm not trying to get arrested. Yes. Are you kidding me?
No.
Right.
There's not going to be any.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, officer, I don't know how I got down here.
So fast? Absolutely not.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
So, on one hand, yes. On the other hand, I will say that I have been with people who were not white who were like, oh, let's go into this abandoned store.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't know where the line is. To be fair, we went through like a door. It was an actual door. It wasn't a wall, but still.
Yeah, you didn't go through a wall. I don't know. I feel like if your name is Chiwetel Ejiofor, you don't get to toe that line. Like they decided for you.
His mother was probably like, what are you doing? Why would you go in there? What's wrong with you? Come back here.
Yeah.
Have I taught you nothing?
The caucasity of his actions are crazy.
It was crazy. They were like, we need diversity. And I'm like, but would anybody... This reminds me of the Supreme Dreams, that Supreme Dreams skit.
Oh, the horror movies? Yeah.
You know the one.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're like driving the car and the guy's like, go back. There's nothing for us over there.
But hold on. He's telling us to go back, bro.
He is.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Man, go ahead. Turn this all around. Ain't nothing for us that way.
Oh, he looked distraught. Let's turn this around. Yeah. So, back rooms. Slightly disappointing. I still love that this movie exists, and I love that it got made based on everything it came from and that Kane got to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those that I was intrigued by the concept more than the execution.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intriguing movie for the most part. There was a certain point where I thought to myself, oh, I hope they don't do that thing that a lot of horror movies do that I don't like. And that's exactly what they do. Yes. And Cassie, you read the synopsis. So, yeah, like when you find out, I don't need to.
The whole thing takes place in a pineapple under the sea.
That would have made it so much better. But yeah, I don't need to like tiptoe the spoiler line, so I'm just going to avoid talking about that. Good performances. Chiwetel is really good in this. His character is a dick. And the other characters mostly don't have a whole lot going on to the point where I get attached and care what happens to them.
Aww.
So like we get a really gnarly reveal of what happened to one of the characters. And I was just thinking, dang, that's crazy. Got that person slipping, huh? All right.
Damn, I'm sorry that happened to you. Moving on.
Yeah. Man. Thoughts and prayers, y'all. And like the movie just moves on too, because it's like, yeah, we know you didn't care about this character like that.
Damn.
Wolves?
There is a character who does have more going on. Renate's character, the therapist. I think her name is Mary. I hope I'm right. I'm not gonna check. She has some backstory and some flashbacks, but they didn't really connect to what was going on in a way that felt all that significant. Like I kept waiting for the stuff in the flashbacks to matter more to the current story, and it felt like it was more just flesh out this character. So it's like, okay, this must be why you became a therapist, but what does it have to do with this SpongeBob colored room? Like what's going on here? Yeah.
What about the
story we're telling right now?
Got it.
The movie does build tension pretty well. Like watching Chiwetel act like a white person all throughout the back rooms had me pretty stressed. All the different times you could have turned back. Like, oh, you're hearing someone talking? You see a silhouette down there? I'd go back the other way. Oh, you want to walk toward them? Okay. Oh, it turned out to be a cardboard cutout with like a tape recorder on it.
No, absolutely not.
You wonder who put that there?
It's a saw trap.
This behavior makes sense out of a character from like, what's the name of that show? The Adam Scott one.
Oh, Severance. Yeah.
That makes more sense with those characters.
Right. They're like, all I know is this building. What's in this building? Let's find out what's in this building. Nah, Chiwetel, you stressed out. You drinking all the time. You're sad at home. Go back. Go watch some TV or something. You got couches to sell, bro. What are you doing? This is not... You don't need to do this right now. You got bills to pay. You got responsibilities, Chiwetel. And don't drag your employees into this. Like I said, he's not the most likable character in the world. Yeah, it's the initial part. I was like, oh, okay. Chiwetel's going to do some stupid stuff. All right, I'm in. Let's lock in. I'm going to watch. And then this movie is, I think, the most glaring example of how a horror movie can kind of lose its sauce once you reveal the mysterious creature.
Because
before, it's like, oh, my God, what's that? What was that sound? I see like a shadow. Something's coming. And then in this movie, we see it. And I'm like, Kane, buddy, what are we doing? Like narratively it works, And it is creative. I will give you that, Kane. But it is goofy enough to border on funny. Like, it came out and I was like, okay. Okay. Why? Whatever. It's your choice. Do your thing. But then as that thing just starts chasing one of our characters, I'm just like, well, okay, we're sticking with this. This is our movie now. Mm. Big insert thing here. I can't talk about what it is because it's a spoiler. But yeah, there's just some execution things that weren't my favorite. I think the movie is doing well with audiences and critics, so that's good. I'm happy. Because it's not like a movie that upset me in any way or like offended me. I don't want it to fail. I'm very happy for Kane and his success. So if y'all like it, I love it. I will say, you know, A24 has like a reputation for their horror movies.
Yeah.
So if you're into like that kind of strange horror movie that they have a reputation for, I would say give it a shot. Especially if you're like curious about how do they make a room scary? It's just a room with a couch in it. What are we doing? Go find out. Why not? Or don't. I don't care. It's your life. It's really ain't got nothing to do with me. All right. That's Back Rooms. Now we're going to take it off of horror and talk about hockey. Straight hockey this time.
Yes. The straight hockey show. Yep. Yeah. We're gonna start talking about Off Campus. All right, so Off Campus is an American romantic comedy drama television series created by Louisa Levy. It's based off the Off Campus book series by L. Kennedy. And it stars Ella Bright, Belmont Camelli, Mike Abdallah, Stephen Kalin, Antonio Cipriani, Jalen Thomas Brooks, Josh Houston, and Steve Howie. It is delightful.
Nice.
But trigger warning for real, please heed my warning. I'm not kidding. It does mention rape and there's domestic violence in this, so it is like it's generally lighthearted, but there are moments where you're like ah, and I was mildly triggered. So if you have one of those issues, it will trigger you. I'm not kidding.
Good to know.
Yeah. Other than that, it's a very cute show. It is more on, so like, where I don't want to compare it to Heated Rivalry, even though inevitably there's comparisons because they were both marketed towards women and they both involve hockey heavily.
Tell us if you like the gays or the straights better.
Ooh, they're very different. They give different vibes. I feel like Heated Rivalry is more of a like more serious romance. It's a little bit moodier because their situation is a little bit more emotionally heavy. Versus Off Campus is much more light, other than like those triggers, it's much more lighthearted. It's kind of, it gives kind of like teen romantic comedy, you know, like a kind of She's All That kind of a vibe. Because okay. The first season is about like fake dating. That's the scheme. It's fake dating versus Heated Rivalry, which is like two closeted professional athletes that are slowly falling in love over the course of a decade.
Oh,
yeah. And like, so that's a heavier thing. And Heated Rivalry makes more sense timeline-wise because people forget that Heated Rivalry is like a period piece. It starts in like 2007, 2008. So okay. A time where you really couldn't just come out. Coming out was a huge risk and could have potentially led to getting hurt or being... well, one of the characters is Russian where it's illegal to be gay. So Heated Rivalry has much more of a serious edge to it. A little bit more angsty and way more like softly romantic. I definitely characterize that as like a more of a serious romance versus Off Campus, which again is much more of like a She's All That vibe. It's university students between partying and hanging out and making friends. One of the students is trying to, you know, keep her scholarship, and the other dude, he just needs to pass a class so that he could keep playing hockey. That's right. The concept. So they're very, very different shows, even though they do both revolve around hockey. However, hockey, if you're a romance book fan like I am, is a very, very popular romance subject. So the fact that there's two hockey shows does not based on romance novels is not surprising to me because, again, it is a very popular subject for a lot of reasons, one of which is the dudes are gigantic and they're ripped.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
a lot of hockey romances, a lot of basketball romances for those reasons. Yeah, so Off Campus is hella cute. One of the characters is a music major, so there's a lot of music. There's a lot of, like, singing. The hockey players, obviously, you know, he's a hockey player. It's a really good time, this show, except, again, trigger warnings. But they only focus on that in a couple of episodes. Other than that, these kids are trying to pass their class. They're going to hockey. There's way more hockey in this, I will say, than there is in Heated Rivalry. Heated Rivalry kind of sprinkles it in. This off campus will have entire like hockey games as part of the plot. So you get way more hockey in this.
Shout out to hockey.
They shot the hockey in this really interestingly. You can tell at some points they put the camera on the actual hockey stick and they were filming that way. So that was an interesting camera angle I noticed.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just really, it's a fun, it's lighthearted. It's a good time. I'm not surprised when they come out with another hockey romance. I'm like, we've seen it all, but also fuck it. Give it to me. I'm not complaining. I've even like, this is how popular hockey romance is. I've read a hockey romance that the hockey player goes back in time to Pride and Prejudice times and he meets Jane Austen. And I've read that book. It was delightful. It's called Puck and Prejudice. Like that is how,
that's a good name.
Yeah.
Great name.
That's how much hockey is in the romance. Like they, you know, you get like alternate universe stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's really cute. I had a really good time. I binged it. I watched it in like 8 hours.
Nice.
And there was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, yes. I don't like praising Amazon for any reason. This show's on Amazon because they're evil. But I will say they're already filming season two. They jumped right back in it. We're probably going to get season two within a year. And I do like the idea that we won't have to wait 2 years to 3 years.
That used to be the norm.
It used to be the norm, but you know, it is what it is. There's a lot. Well, also there's just a lot of things in production all the time. People's schedules.
If you're going to wait 2-3 years, give us more than like 8 episodes. Come on.
Right.
Some people are saying like, well, if they're able to bring us the next season this quickly, they also showed us at the end of season one, who the next couple's going to be. It's going to be like Bridgerton, where it's a different couple is the main characters every season, which I appreciate because there's only so much you can, you know, bring out people without breaking them up and putting them back together, you know. So they've already shown us the next couple and they're already filming. And even though I hate giving Amazon anything, I do have to commend them for this. And people were saying, well, if they're able to do that, like, can we get 22 episode seasons? Give me like filler, give me like, you know, episodes where it doesn't matter about pushing the plot along. Because also what I did like about Off Campus is they did a really great job of establishing the relationships between all the hockey players, because a good portion of them live in the same house. And so you get a sense of their dynamic right away. And it was hella cute. Mm. It was really like homies living together, but also teammates. There's a lot of reasons why this show is very popular right now. And that's definitely one of them. The chemistry, not just between the two leads, but between everybody on the show, including the hockey team, is very cute. You can tell there's much more to all of the characters than we're getting yet. Some of them are way more fleshed out now. Some of them are in the background. But you can tell eventually they're going to pull forward and we'll get way more info on them. Especially since usually these book series, they focus on one player each. And each player gets to fall in love.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's really cute. I liked it. And I recommend it as long as you can handle those triggers.
All right. Shout out to hockey. Hockey for everyone. All right. I don't have a transition. Cassie, 10-minute take. What did you watch?
So I'm interested in this because, you know, we've been talking about, like, adding stuff to my list that's more, like, we're adding more Black stuff. Gabby, if you want to add more Latinx stuff, please do. If you're ever able to do stuff that isn't work or baby. And sometimes I understand. And then I watch 10 minutes of a movie where the first half is about a white woman and the second half is a lot about Mark Wahlberg, and I'm really confused.
I know where this is going.
So this is my way of saying I watched the first 10 minutes of Four Brothers, and I'll believe it when I see it. It's kind of, but I didn't see it because it was mostly all the white people. It was like
Four Brothers is great. Oh my god!
So you didn't get the other three brothers in the first 10 minutes, is what you're
saying. No, you don't.
I mean, they're mentioned. You see one of them, I think.
Did you get Sofia Vergara?
What happens is, there's a white lady, she runs a convenience store, she tells this black kid to stop stealing, and pretends that her assistant's gonna call the cops, and then he's like, nah, I'm not gonna steal anymore, I'm good. And then people break in to try to rob the store, and we get this weird line of, black people don't get what they want in America, so why should you? And I'm like, that's not something you say to another person of color you're robbing and about to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So did you? Yeah. Who was it that delivered that line?
I don't know because
the robbers.
In the first 10 minutes, we don't know who the robbers are. They just come in, they shoot both people, and then we're sad about it, I guess.
Got it.
Old white lady. We sad.
Rip.
What is it? Is this directed by a black director? Like, why is this on the list, Dallas? Because when it cuts to from white woman to Mark Wahlberg, I'm like, what are we doing here?
So Four Brothers is a black movie directed by John Singleton, a black man who went to PCC.
Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace. Directed by John Singleton, it stars Mark Wahlberg as white brother. And then his brothers are Tyrese, Andre 3000, and Garrett Hedlund, who's also white.
Garrett Hedlund's the one you see. So they just showed the white
ones. That's hilarious.
First.
They showed you all the white people first.
Racism. I feel like the network or the studio was like, listen, you got to show the white people first.
Like, don't tell them like, it's a black movie. Show the white people first, and then we'll work the black people in when they're already sitting down.
So they didn't show Sofia Vergara yet, because she's Latina, but she's very white. She's blonde.
That's crazy.
But she's in this movie, same. And she's insane, but she's fun.
She was a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Tyrese, Andre 3000. It's funny, Chiwetel Ejiofor is actually the antagonist of this movie.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, was it Chiwetel?
We're back to Chiwetel.
Actually, yes, we did see him, because he's playing a cop, I think. Who's like, watch out for these four brothers. They're fucked up. We're going to say fuck up like 5 times in a minute for some reason.
Oh, yeah. His character is insane.
Like, we couldn't think of better words.
I love the end with him in that fur coat.
Yeah. He was very good in that.
Oh,
movie.
The drip. Just drippy.
But yeah, Chiwetel is not a cop. Terrence Howard plays a cop, also in the movie. And then Taraji Henson is in the movie. So it is very black after the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. yeah, they showed you all the white folks, and then it got blacker and blacker after you stopped watching. Mm-hmm. So where does the 10 minutes end?
The 10 minutes ends with Taraji talking to someone about like, oh, we didn't think Mark Wahlberg, you said he wasn't going to show up, I think to her husband, I assume. And he's like, I said I wasn't sure if he was going to show up, but I guess he shows up. So, all right. To the funeral, to the wake, to the whatever they're doing.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Because white lady got popped.
They were like, Marky Mark's not coming.
It's not, I think Cassie would like this type of movie. It is a, we need black things, and I know that this is available to stream somewhere on a streaming service.
Got it.
But it is very good, and it is black, and has Tyrese, and he's dating Sofia Vergara, and Andre 3000 is married to Taraji Henson, and Chiwetel is playing a very rough American man, which is funny because I saw him in an interview recently.
He's the most like, British man.
Hearing
ever.
His English accent, it's so funny because he's like, you know, all the memes where there's like English actors playing
Drewski, skit recently.
Like, that's Chiwetel.
Also, ironically, Drewski's accent was so good. I was like, now's the Americans.
Drewski's great. But yeah, good movie. Hilarious how white it is in the first 10 minutes. I didn't really realize that. It also takes place in Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, extra black there. Points off, Mark Wahlberg does say the phrase house nigga in the movie, which insane. And I know you're never going to get far enough into the movie to see that. But every time I see the movie, that hits me like a ton of bricks.
Especially knowing his history of hate crimes.
His history.
Yeah, that's,
and the fact that there are two of his brothers who could have said the line, but they had Mark Wahlberg say it. Like, he's talking to one of the henchmen of Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's like, oh, yeah, we're on the street. Is he treating you like a house nigga? And the first time I said it, I'm like, huh? Mark, what?
Who allowed this? Who said
Mark,
it was okay?
Mark Bartholomew Wahlberg. Why?
Not Bartholomew.
I think the thing is to me, it's like, well, okay, somebody, let's say that was a line that was written, right? And it wasn't improv. So somebody wrote that line. He got the script, said, okay, I'm supposed to say house nigga, and didn't say, hey, Tyrese, why don't you read the line?
I think Tyrese would kill this line. This would be great for Tyrese.
Oh.
I think Andre 3000 would do a very good job reading this line. Hey, John, do I have to read this? That was my first thought when I first saw the movie. I was like, he shouldn't have said it. No. He should have asked, hey, is there any way one of the black characters in this movie can say this? There are 4 of us. 2 of us are black. Why did you pick me? John, you know my troubled past. Please don't do this to me. But I don't think that conversation happened.
No, I don't think.
I think he just read the
script. He was like, all right, that's the line. I'll say it as it's written.
But yeah, that aside, I like this movie a lot. Everything else I like. That's just, why did you do that? Anyway, Four Brothers. Goodness. That's our 10-minute take. Thank you, Cassie. All right. I guess I'll start, because why not? I watched a thing called Punisher One Last Kill.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It is on Disney Plus, which I find hilarious, because now Disney is where I go to watch John Bernthal murder a bunch of people.
Hell yeah.
It's like an hour. It's one of those Marvel special presentations, like Werewolf by Night and the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas.
Ooh.
Except it seems not really like those at all in some ways.
No. Not anything like that. Directed by Rinaldo Marcus Green and written by Rinaldo and John Bernthal.
Ooh.
So that's cool. Yeah. Also, for those who don't know, Rinaldo directed King Richard.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's why
I did not know that.
So this was, 51 minutes, not even an hour.
Oh.
It's decent. It's essentially an episode of The Punisher. You get all the hits. John Bernthal making me worry for his mental health in real life, because like the kind of characters he plays and how the fact that he plays them, so I'm not saying put him on the lock him up list. I'm just saying that going to that place, just watch him going to that place so often in his career, I'm like, that's gotta take a toll on you, because the Punisher's gotta be one of the most tortured characters I've ever seen, and he plays it so well every time, and I'm tired watching it, so I know he's tired doing it. And we get a lot of Punisher has trauma. He's seeing ghosts. No. You know, the John Bernthal stuff. Ooh. He's growling at people. And then we get very Italian woman coming to him. You're like, what murder? That's not the dialogue. She didn't say that. But she's essentially like, you took out my family. Mobster this, mobster that. New York. Look at how they massacred my boy.
Oh, how
things of that
they
nature.
Killed my boy.
Look at how they massacred my boy. And then it becomes just, if you watch someone play a Punisher video game where he's just killing a bunch of people for like half an hour. And, you know, we come to this place for violence. That's what we watch the Punisher for. Trauma and rage-induced violence. And we get all that. We get it well. John Bernthal is good at acting. He's good at shooting people. He's good at crying.
Mm-hmm. All of those things.
If you like the Punisher, I think you'll like it. So one of the issues is that, and this is more of a like me being a nerd issue. If you watch it on the surface, it's just like, oh, okay, this part of New York is crazy. But my issue is obviously the whole thing with like every superhero living in New York, but then you can have this part of New York, what they call Little Sicily, because I guess they didn't want to say Little Italy.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the Wild West. Like there are just people running around in the street, setting cop cars on fire, throwing dogs in the street. Like it's cartoonishly over the top with the violence. And I'm like, hey, Spider-Man, hey, Thunderbolts, New Avengers, we know y'all can see this probably from your tower. Hey, Daredevil, hey, Jessica Jones, hey, everyone, where y'all at?
And but they're like, actually, we have from 34th Street to 37th
exactly.
Street. So like,
I don't really mess with Lil Sicily like that.
You know,
that's not
Sicily.
My... Yeah, that was like, I stay in Hell's Kitchen.
You know, they call me the devil of Hell's Kitchen, so I gotta stay, in this 4-block radius.
Yeah. I'm a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. That ain't my neighborhood. So
he's like, I'm in charge of Queens Astoria, so that's not
exactly.
Even Manhattan. I would have to take a train, and so
yeah, that's not my
That's not my purview.
It's not my shift. But I'm just like, you just have these superheroes like nobody can cover somebody's shift. Call your homeboy like, hey yo, I got calling sick. Can you take care of Lil Sicily?
He's like, actually, that villain's not assigned to me. So
you're not part of my.
You gotta find somebody else.
I'm off the clock, bro. I'm on my 15.
Yeah.
And Punisher wakes up and walking. Who closed last night? Crazy.
Exactly. Who closed last night?
But yeah, if you want to watch John Bernthal kill a bunch of people, would recommend. 2 thumbs up.
Does he do the yell?
Of course. Of course he does. That's the last half of this.
Of course. Every Punisher, that's the last half of it.
It's
John Bernthal's doing that yelling.
But man, and obviously I'm being reductive, but he's such a good actor.
Yeah, he's very good.
Because he's very good at that, but he's also very good at the like solemn thinking about everything he's lost. And I was like, man.
Is he
I'm
a dead wife guy?
Now.
Oh, yeah. He's a dead wife and kids guy.
He's dead wife guy. Yeah, he's dead family guy.
Mm-hmm. He lost his wife and his kids. tragically, yeah, at a carnival.
Yeah. That's the place you go for fun.
Go to carnivals.
He's like, carnivals are, he's like, they're ruined for me now.
Yeah. No more merry-go-rounds for him.
Nope.
Just anyway, PTSD. That's Punisher. One last kill, even though he kills like 87 people. Punisher, 87 last kills.
His one last kill is in there somewhere at the end.
Yeah, it had to be the last one.
That's anyway. What they keep you watching for the 51 minutes. Is it this one? Is it this one? You don't know.
Which one's the last one? Oh, yep, it's that one. He got him. All right, who wants to go next?
Me.
All right, what we got?
So I haven't been watching anything, but I have been reading. My current read is Game Changer, which is the first book in the Heated Rivalry series. Yeah, and it's not about the two main characters in Heated Rivalry. It's actually about the characters in the third episode. Okay. So it's about Scott Hunter and Kip Grady. Their love story is briefly covered in the Heated Rivalry season one. And there's a very epic kiss that takes place in the fifth episode. Pedro Pascal reposted it. It was a big deal. And it's so super cute so far. So the way that they meet is Kip works at a smoothie shop, and Scott Hunter, legendary hockey player Scott Hunter, has been having a rough season, okay? And he stops in the smoothie shop. He gets a blueberry smoothie because Kip suggests it. He leaves, and he has a great hockey game. And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep this routine up. Athletes are superstitious. So he's like, I had that run in the morning and I had that smoothie. So I'm going to do that before every game. And so he and Kip start talking. And that's where I'm at in the book, is like he and Kip are talking. Scott Hunter has invited Kip to his game since he called him. He's like, you know, good luck charm. And that's where I'm at. It's very cute.
All right. Sounds cute. Sounds hockey.
It is. It's cute and hockey. There's way more hockey in the book than there's a TV show. But it's really cute. And that's where I'm at.
Love that. Love that for you. Love that for hockey.
Adorable.
Cassie, what you been watching, reading, playing?
Let's see. I just finished For All Mankind season 5. Just finished.
Okay.
Like the last episode came out yesterday. And it was okay. This season was not really my favorite because it's mostly about like war, kind of. Or not war, but like the last half of it is all like the military is on Mars and they're going to take it over. And I'm just like, this is not... I got into the show for, like, the beauty of space exploration, not...
Yeah.
Let's shoot some hoes.
Right. That's Punisher.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, and I started the spinoff, Star City, which is set in Russia, which is... Okay. I like the show, but it really bothers me that everyone is speaking in English.
Is it with an accent?
They're in Russia?
Yeah, they're in Russia. They are Russians. Like, one of the characters is... a younger version of a character from For All Mankind who speaks both Russian and English, but when she wants to speak Russian, she speaks Russian. And now in this, she's only speaking English, and it just throws me off.
It's weird.
Because especially because in the second episode, people go to France, and the French president gives a very brief speech in French. So I'm like, how come he can do it? But I don't know. Guess they figured paying subtitlers was bad. I don't know. But yeah, there's that. I'm also watching Widow's Bay. I'm caught up on that.
Ooh,
I heard that's good.
I like it. I want to like it more than I do.
Okay.
So I think it's good. I like it, but it's one of those shows that are very, very common, very, very popular right now, where it's kind of a comedy, but also more of a drama. But also, even when they have comedy, it's more of like the sensible chuckle than it is like, oh, you're really laughing. Just like, oh, that's clever. Okay. And so it kind of, because it's all of those things, I feel like the mix isn't really working for me. Like, there'll be moments where it's like, oh, Chris Fleming's in an episode. That's awesome. But no, the episode is really about the main character's wife who died and his extended mushroom trip that involves remembering her and all that. And I'm like, okay, but like, I thought this was a comedy, but I'm not. Where is the laughter? Where is the joy? I don't know. I'm interested in it. I'm going to finish out the season at least. I don't know how much more of it there is. But, I mean, I feel like you would like it, Dallas.
Okay. I've heard that.
Just don't expect as much horror as you might hope for.
Okay, yeah, because I've been hearing, like, I heard it described as, like, a comedy horror. I've heard horror and I've heard comedy. The person who told me about it was my sister, and she doesn't watch horror stuff. So I'm like, is this a horror show?
I would categorize it as more of a drama with some comedy. I like, okay, yes, you've got the episode with the creepy clown, right? But then, like, the most recent episode, the horror was suggested, but it was like we didn't actually see it, and there wasn't really like it. I don't know. I feel like it's, I was sold something that it didn't turn out to be.
Okay.
But if you watch it, I'll be interested to know what you think.
I might do that. I might do that. All right. We did it.
We did.
We have that segment that we do sometimes, anything in the news you're excited about. But we're like at an hour. I feel like we can cut this.
I think we can cut it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. To me, have a good
love
time.
Love you.
We love you. We don't want to give a bunch of work to you. So yeah, we're done. Woo. We did it. We did it. We talked about movies. We talked about hockey.
A lot of hockey.
Four brothers. So much more hockey than I expected. And more Chiwetel than I expected.
Oh, yeah. So much more Chiwetel.
Surprise Chiwetel. Anyway, thank you, audience, for listening to that. All of it. We appreciate it. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon, and Aya for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. To me, thank you for editing this. Thank you for putting us on YouTube. Thank you for leaving in that line I said about you following a white woman into the back rooms. Unless you cut it out, in which case I take all my thanks back. So very petty of you. Even though you probably take this out too, because it wouldn't work continuity-wise. Gabby, thank you for telling us about various hockey romances.
You're welcome, man. If you want any more, I got so many. I love hockey romances.
Nice. Cassie, thank you for your 10-minute take on the whitest part of Four Brothers.
Hell yeah.
Audience, as always, you can reach us in the comments. There's a lot of room down there because it's empty. You can hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast or Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC if you're still on Facebook. We're still there for some reason. We're also on TikTok at Creative Differences Pod where people actually go. So we're all those places. Hit us there somewhere. If you want to talk to me about Obsession, because I'm still thinking about it, find me on Instagram or Letterboxd or Serialized. It's all a king name symbol. It's all there. Find me there.
Hi. You can find me on Instagram at Stegosauria and just DM me and tell me what your favorite hockey romance is.
Nice.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer. You know, talk to me about Widow's Bay and like that kind of show and like, what are they going for? Who is this for? I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just like, what does it want to be?
Right. What's the target? What are we aiming for?
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Right. And if you would like to talk to Demi and yell at her for not being here, you can find her on Blue Sky at Throwing It Back in the Back Rooms.
I thought of that phrase earlier and I was going to say
I thought it was going to be back shots in the back rooms.
I that too.
Yeah, feels a little vulgar
there's
for
really
Demi.
A lot with it.
You were like, I had to make it more tame for Demi.
Yeah, you know, it's Demi. We don't want to go too crazy with Demi's name.
No.
If it was you, it would definitely back shots in the back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Either of you, to be honest.
But, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, it's been different. Bye.
Bye.
I don't have a tag better than the concept of Demi walking into the back room and saying,
no, there's nothing
you're
better
welcome.
Than that.
And I also love it because now this is our tag. So if she cuts it out, we just don't have a tag.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Demi 2026.
Poking her head in.